Our scripture reading for today comes from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 16, where we read this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a single silver coin a day, and send them out to work in his vineyard. He went out again to the marketplace at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there, doing nothing. So he told them, "You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage." So they went. Then at 12 o'clock and again at 3, he did the same thing. And then it was nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he went to the marketplace and saw some other men still standing there. "Why are you wasting the whole day here doing nothing?" he asked him. "Well, no one hired us," they answered. "Well then, you go and work in the vineyard," he told them. When evening came, the owner told his foreman, "Call all the workers together and pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last, and ending with those who were hired first." The men who had begun to work at 5 o'clock were each paid a silver coin. So when the men who were the first to be hired came to be paid, they thought they'd get more. But they too were given a silver coin each. They took their money and then started grumbling against the employer. "These men who were hired last worked only an hour," they said, "while we put in a whole day's work in the hot sun. Yet you paid them the same as you paid us." "Listen, friend," the owner answered one of them, "I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to a day's work for one silver coin. Now take your pay and go home." "I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I gave you. Don't I have a right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I'm generous?" And Jesus concluded, "So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us today from these words of Scripture and through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, we've probably all used these words before, at least a few times. It's not fair. It's just not fair. And I think about this ad that's on TV for the travel site Trivago. Two people are standing in line getting ready to check into their hotel room as the clerk tells them the charge for the night and takes their credit card. And they're kind of paying close attention to the deal the other person is getting because, just like us, we want to kind of compare, don't we? Did we get a better deal than the other guy? We want to check that out. So the clerk says to the one lady, "That's one room, king bed, that will be $225 a night." Pretty nice hotel, I'm thinking. Then there is the guy who's featured on all the Trivago ads, a guy who always seems to be a little overimpressed with himself. And he listens as the clerk tells him he's got a king suite for $150 a night. And he kind of gives the woman one of those cheesy smiles, knowing that he got the better deal. As she looks at him, kind of shocked that his room is not only better, but he paid $75 less. And she stands there glaring at the clerk as he quickly grabs the credit card out of her hand. She doesn't say it, but you know what she's thinking. It's not fair. Any of you who are parents no doubt hear these words quite often. "How come Susie gets all the neat gifts on her birthday and all I get is a pair of socks? How come Davy gets to go on a camping trip and I have to stay home? It's not fair." And it doesn't end in childhood, does it? As we all keep asking the question, things like, how did Sally get the corner office and I'm stuck in this little cubicle with no view? It's not fair. I remember asking my basketball coach in high school why Derek Hutchins always started in front of me. And my coach says, because he's better than you. And I said, okay, just checking. But there are times where we feel we got a raw deal. And that sometimes someone else got a better deal. And the reality is that in this life, it happens all the time. As some wise person once said, life's not fair. Or as Rod Stewart puts it, some guys have all the luck, some guys have all the pain, some guys get all the breaks, some guys do nothing but complain. Well, that's kind of what's the theme of our scripture reading for today. Jesus tells this story, and he starts out by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he goes on to tell a story about day laborers. The boss man goes out early in the morning looking for laborers to work in his vineyard. He identifies a few good men and agrees to pay them one silver coin for the entire day, and off they go to the field. At 9 a.m., he hires some more. And he tells them he will pay them a fair wage. And he does the same at 12 and at 3. And then at 5 p.m., he goes back and he sees a few guys still standing around waiting for a job. They complain that no one had hired them. And so the boss man says, go work in the vineyard and I will pay you fairly. We read that when the evening came, the owner told the boss man, call the workers and pay them their wages and start with those who were hired last and end with those who were hired first. The men who had been hired at 5 o'clock were each paid a silver coin. So when the men that were hired first came to be paid, they thought they were going to get a lot more, but they were given a silver coin as well. They took their money, they started grumbling against their employer. These men who were hired last worked 1 hour, they said. Well, we put in a whole day's work in the hot sun, and yet you paid them the same as you paid us. Listen, friend, the owner said, I've not cheated you. After all, you've agreed to do a day's work for one silver coin. Take your money. Take your pay. Go home. I want to give this man who was hired last as much as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do that? Or are you jealous that I'm generous? Some guys have all the luck. Some guys have all the pain. Some guys get all the breaks. Some guys do nothing but complain. Well, the story starts out with a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. And Jesus made this shocking statement. He said, it will be harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God than a camel go through the eye of a needle. And the disciples had been watching the dynamics of this happening as they followed Jesus, and they were quite disturbed. You see, Jewish tradition had always taught that God had especially blessed rich men, and that's why they were rich. In their way of thinking, if a wealthy man could not receive salvation, then how could a poor man have any hope? So they ask of Jesus, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked straight at them and said, this is impossible for human beings, but for God, everything is possible. Then Simon Peter pipes up, we have left everything to follow you. What will we get? What Simon Peter was asking is the same question that most of us would be asking, only we're too sophisticated to ask it and too self-righteous to admit that we even think about it. Peter didn't have any problem with that. He simply laid his cards out on the table and said, Lord, we have given up everything, riches and all, to follow you. What then shall we get? In other words, what's in it for us, Lord? How do we stand to profit? Where's the payoff? And that's where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. and he tells a story about the laborers who got the same pay even though they didn't do the same work. Not fair in the human economy. But by telling this story, Jesus is informing Simon Peter that he will get no more reward from being a disciple than anyone else. The person who comes late is just as important as the one who comes early. Think of it this way. The thief on the cross received the same reward as the disciples. Think of it this way. The prodigal son, the one who went out and squandered his father's money, got the same reward as the son who stayed home and worked his tail off. It's not fair. There's a story that Brett Blair tells. It's a story of a large, prosperous downtown church that had three satellite churches in some pretty tough neighborhoods throughout the city. Well, on the first Sunday of the new year, all the members of the mission churches of the satellite churches came to the downtown church for a combined communion service. The satellite churches had some pretty savory characters and some amazing stories on how former thieves and convicts had become followers of Christ, had gone through a conversion experience. And it was quite a sight to see people from the wealthy church and the people from the satellite churches all kneeling down side by side at the communion rail. On one such occasion, the pastor saw a former convict kneeling beside the chief judge of the circuit court. It was the very same judge that had sentenced this former convict to jail, where he served time for 7 years. After his release, this former convict became a follower of Christ and actually found a job working with young people on the staff of one of the satellite churches. And there they were, kneeling together, side by side at the communion rail, the judge and the former convict. After the service, the judge and the pastor were kind of hanging out, drinking coffee, and the judge said, "Did you notice who was kneeling beside me at the communion rail this morning?" The pastor replied, "Yes, but I wasn't sure that you even noticed." The two men talked for a while, and then the judge said this, "What a marvelous portrait of God's grace." The pastor nodded in agreement. "Yes, it's quite amazing." Then the judge said something kind of interesting. He said, "But to whom are you referring?" And the pastor said, the conversion of the convict, of course. And the judge said, "No, I was referring not to him, but to me." And the pastor was surprised and replied, I don't understand." The judge replied, "It did not cost that former convict much to follow Jesus when he came out of jail. He had nothing but a history of crime behind him, and when he met Jesus as his Savior, he knew that there was salvation and hope for him. He knew just how much he needed that help. But look at me. I've had a life of privilege since childhood. My parents took me to church every Sunday. I was baptized and confirmed. When I was having problems in school, my parents made sure I had a tutor. I had all the support I needed. I went on to one of the best universities in the country, and then one of the best law schools, and eventually become a judge." "Pastor," the judge said, "nothing but the grace of God could have caused me to admit that I was a sinner on a level with that former convict. It took much more grace to forgive me for all my pride and self-deception to get me to admit that I was no better in the eyes of God than that former convict that I sent to prison. Life is not fair, but God is good." The story that Jesus told goes against the way the world works. We've always been taught that you only get out of something what you put into it. We've always been taught that we have to earn it. You remember the movie The Paper Chase, where John Houseman would tell his law students, you have to earn it. I love that. Maybe you haven't seen it. I don't know. It's great. Check it out. But in this story, Jesus was telling his disciples, and really us, that God sees things differently, and that God's ways and the ways of the world are like polar opposites. In our way of thinking, the laborers who came to the field late got something for nothing. What this parable challenges us to see is that in God's kingdom, all people have the same value and worth, be it people who have followed God's ways for all of their lives or Johnny-come-latelys like the thief on the cross. You see, we live in a world of tenure and seniority, and it goes against our grain when we hear Jesus say, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's hard for us to comprehend the nature of God's unmerited grace. We sing songs like Amazing Grace, but the truth is that we usually are uncomfortable with last-minute deathbed conversions because it doesn't seem fair. But God's grace is not based on fair. God's grace is based on love, a great love of all God's children, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in Jesus' sight. It wasn't fair that the laborers who worked only an hour received a full day's wage. But look at who they were. All day long, they'd been in the town square and no one chose them to work for them. They were rejects. They were always the last ones to be selected. They were viewed as the bottom of the barrel. But they were rewarded just the same as the guys who showed up at the crack of dawn. What does that tell us? It tells us that God's grace isn't based on fairness. That God's grace isn't about earning it. That God's grace isn't based on your test scores or your zip codes. That God's grace isn't reserved for those with all the perks and all the privileges. It's based on love. On God's unmerited love for you. And God's unmerited love for all of God's children who fall short, whether it's by an inch or a mile. It tells us that God's love is radically inclusive. And that's good news for everybody. Let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks for your radically inclusive love, a love that includes people like us, people who have wandered and roamed and fallen short. Help us to see that your love is not earned but freely given, and help us to extend that kind of love to the people that cross our paths. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.